ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Could this be the most perfect way to spend a week? Droving cattle, sleeping under the stars, and sharing stories around the campfire, all while raising money for life-saving services in the bush. Dozens of horse riders have spent a week retracing historic stockmen's routes through Queensland's North Burnett, west of Bundaberg, as Ross Kay reports.
Driving 450 head of cattle with about 30 horses is a tough job for most. But for 9-year-old Kobe and 13-year-old Josie, it sure is a lot of fun.
I like coming on it, and I like because we get to chase the cattle and that.
It's about like driving cattle like what they did back a few years ago. And it's like we go from one property to the next property. And then when we get to towards the end, we have a big finale and everything. And then it's like a rodeo. There's a bunch of other stuff as well.
The Eidsvold Cattle Drive crosses multiple properties and rivers in Queensland's North Burnett region and follows a similar stock route where cattle were taken for sale almost a century ago. These days, the trip is about going off-grid for a week with nothing but a horse and a swag. Beck Scholl is the drive's chairperson.
The countryside was amazing. There was green grass. The creeks had little trickles of water running through them, so it was very picturesque. And in terms of comparing it to the other drives, I think it's gone down as probably, it's right up there, as good as any. The cattle have been extremely well behaved, very quiet cattle, which is a credit to the owners. And the riders have been amazing. Our drovers, some people have hardly ever done anything with a cow, and the way they've listened to the experienced volunteers and Bruce Ty and Graham Pott, our boss drovers, complimented them today on their skill and how much they've learnt in a week. So it's been fabulous.
But it's not without its challenges. Beck Scholl told me there are a few people on the cattle drive whose horses had never seen a cow before.
The first day is always hilarious for all of us. The horses, you can have a really quiet horse. One lady was talking about she could do Liberty Horse, so that's where you don't even have a bridle on your horse, and she could sit on her horse lying down and all these things and got it here and it was, you know, going crazy. So it's a whole new environment. They're around cattle, they're around other people's horses. Some horses don't like other horses. It's a bit like people. And but after a couple of days, they definitely settle in.
It's not just about rounding up cattle. Event organisers also round up donations, with over $150,000 raised previously for charity groups, including Lifelight and the Royal Flying Doctor Service. Bruce Ty is one of the boss drivers. He says it makes a big difference to the community, and it's a rewarding journey for the 30 people who travelled from across the country to take part.
I think it's a bucket list sort of thing, and a lot of people are that ride horses like to get into that sort of thing. There's we have endurance riders here, and we have, you know, trail riders and that sort of thing, pony clubbers, people that want to have a look at different country, and get out and get away from the traffic and madness of town, I guess. A lot of people having a lot of fun, and all getting along well. Yeah, it's good.
And as they arrived in the town of Eidsvold, it made a pretty big impression on locals too.
Oh, it's awesome. It's great because we don't have a lot of events on.
I think it's amazing. I think it's awesome to see locals and people from out of town coming in to check it out, see what it's all about. It's pretty incredible seeing so many cattle come through town. It's not something you see every day. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
The event is the fourth of its kind and is set to return in 2026.
Ross Kay ending that report. In an age of urbanisation and big diesel motors, a career path that perhaps flies under the radar for the average Australian is that of an outback horse trainer. On cattle stations across Australia's north, Hamish Lamond breaks and trains horses, but he often finds the humans are the ones that walk away with the bigger lesson. Alice Marshall saddled up to find out more.
motorbikes and helicopters are pretty common sights on outback cattle stations. But Hamish Lamond is keen on making sure that horses stay in the mustering mix too.
I grew up east of Perth in a little town called York, and we'd always had horses around as kids, and I've always just loved being around horses and loved being able to get on a horse and go and explore a bit of bush behind home. So I suppose that's where the love for horses came. Yeah, I'd always loved horses, and then I suppose through high school I stopped riding as much, and then I actually, when I left school, I had photography as my first preference to go to uni, but my parents said it would probably be a good idea to take a gap year, and I ended up going to Ruby Plains Station out of Halls Creek. And I can remember the day, I can even remember where we were, and we were just sitting, I was sitting on a horse blocking up some cattle, and I was like, this is pretty cool, I'm getting paid to sit on a horse and do what I love.
These days, Hamish is a horse breaker and trainer, and a bit of a human trainer too.
Yeah, this time of the year I'll spend the majority of my time going from station to station, especially before they start getting into mustering, and just help put a bit of a foundation for the year around how they're going to handle and work their horses. I genuinely just love horses and love being on their back and love being able to work and influence staff and hopefully help instill some great values in the industry and leave each place in a little bit better place if it's not the people, the horses or the cattle, which is, yeah, pretty cool. There's definitely different characteristics and traits in all different horses, which keeps me sort of adapting and changing what I do with horses. It's and they'll all sort of take different things at a different pace. So yeah, all horses are different in a sense, but I think it all does come back to one general idea of how they operate, and with how I work them. I'm always learning new things and I'm always changing, which is pretty cool. I'm definitely not stuck in a way and say that this suits every single horse that I come across. So I'm lucky enough to have some great people in my life that I call mentors, and if I come across a bit of a tricky horse, I'll speak to them and try things a bit of a different way. Probably two values that I really hold in a high regard is compassion and empathy, and I feel working with horses to get the best out of them, that has to be high up in your list. So I just try and think of everything from the horse's perspective, relate everything I do back to how horses used to live and what makes horses tick.
Hamish Lamond ending that report by Alice Marshall. While moving freight and cattle around Australia doesn't use horses that much anymore, in the future, it might not even use people. Driverless trucks are being tested along two of Melbourne's busiest freight routes, using smart road technology to navigate their own dedicated lanes. Transport industry leaders say this could revolutionise the industry. Tien T. Mack is General Manager of Strategic Innovation at Transurban.
Basically, these driverless trucks, which we are just started a six-month trial on, have a whole bunch of sensors and computers on board. So they're basically able to see 360 degrees all around them. And in addition, we've also got a whole bunch of sensors and cameras on the road that helps to feed information to the truck in real time, and also provides like a monitoring oversight and capability to make sure the truck is okay. And that's how it's working.
Are they going to be carrying anything?
Look, for now, no. They will be, you know, pulling a shipping container behind them, but there's really nothing inside the shipping container as we conduct this trial to learn what's going on.
So is there also going to be a driver in the vehicle, or will they be fully driverless?
Oh, it was absolutely always going to be, in fact, two people on board the vehicle at all times. There'll be a safety pilot, as well as an engineer keeping an eye on the vehicle. They were basically able to take immediate manual control of the vehicle if there's ever any doubt of what's happening at any point.
All right, so tell us when and where these trucks are going to hit the roads.
Yeah, so we've just started, and effectively what they'll be doing is they'll be driving along a 50-kilometre stretch of road from the Port of Melbourne down towards Dandenong, which is a very, very busy freight hub and freight corridor in Melbourne. And we're really, seeking to understand how this kind of technology can be used to meet the ever-growing freight needs of our growing cities.
Are they going to be driving during peak time?
Oh, no. So they will only be driving at night when there's, much less traffic on the roads, etc.
So this is going to be a six-month trial. What will be your markers of success by the end of it, do you think?
Yeah, so we're really looking to understand number one, we're trying to build on some of the work that we've already done in previous trials. And we're really trying to understand now how does this actually become real in terms of moving live freight. So that's why we're moving it from the Port of Melbourne all the way down to Dandenong. We want to understand exactly what that route looks like and how that might actually integrate in a real freight situation and to trial that.
All right, TNT Mac, what would you say to drivers who might be a little bit nervous to be travelling at high speeds next to one of your driverless trucks?
Well, importantly, safety is always going to be our number one priority. And that's why we have got so much investment, I guess, in creating an environment around the trucks that's going to make it extra safe. For example, there is a dedicated lane that we will be running where the truck will provide a bit of separation, plus all of the control room oversight and the real-time feeds. In addition to that, we've got, two safety drivers, sitting in the truck at all times. So we've really done everything to make sure that these trials are as safe as possible.
TNT Mac, General Manager of Strategic Innovation at Transurban, speaking to Sarah Morris. If you'd like to explore even further what it takes to put food on plates around the world, join me, Callie Buchanan, and our team of specialist reporters from across Queensland as we break down the big issues of rural life, from the food you eat to the clothes you wear and the home you live in. It's all available for you on the ABC Listen app. Just favourite the Queensland Country Hour or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.